One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sans Pants Radio. Rocco says trans rights.
Rocco's Modern Life.
Hey, what's Pac-Man, everybody? Welcome to the Cynical Cartoons Podcast, where today I watch the Rocco's Modern Life special, Static Cling. I'm so excited to have my friends Omar Romolino and Reed Ashley on this episode to talk about it. Omar uses she, her pronouns, and Reed goes by he, him. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at StopTweetingMia. Thank you for listening to the Cynical Cartoons Podcast for another week. As always, I'm your host, Mia Marchant. My pronouns are she, her, and I'm here if you need to talk.
Dear Lord, bless this delicious meal of trans representation that is this new thing of Rocco's Modern Life.
Oh, I thought you meant the podcast.
Bless this podcast.
Thanks,
oh, that too. No.
I know we have three trans people here, but that doesn't make it trans representation.
No.
No, trans representation is when you have three animated trans people.
Not
like
trans,
if we were all cartoon voiced by cis
people. No, see, if you have an explicit trans person in your thing, that's not representation. That's, you know, you have to be maybe able to kind of headcanon them as trans, and then it counts. And only then. If you show a trans person, then you're just pushing an SJW agenda, and like, we can't have that.
Transcoded.
Yeah.
That's how it has to be, you know, like Shark Tale.
Because if you ever...
He wasn't transcoded, he was queer coded. Well, a little bit. He was like a shark that wanted to be
like
a dolphin. Yeah. Not good.
Listen, I know a lot of things about Shark Tale.
Oh, that's great. We did an episode about that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, you sent me that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I got a lot of Shark Tale knowledge just backed up and from how long I was stuck on the can't touch this dance level of the GameCube Shark Tale game. Like, I know a lot about it.
That's fantastic. Was it okay? So I saw some clips of the GameCube Shark Tale game just because I was interested in how nightmarish the animation would be.
Oh yeah,
it was all dancing, or it was mostly not dancing?
No, I think that was maybe the second dance level, and then there's like some fish swimming levels or whatever the fuck. I don't remember a lot of it. I just remember like I could not get past the can't touch this dance party 2 level. It was the worst.
When did this game come out?
I don't know. Like
maybe it was like 2004.
The year 2.
Anyway, experience with Rocco's Modern Life. Let's go around the table. Read first.
Experience with the concept, the show in general. The concept.
Did you ever watch it as a kid, or was this your first time watching?
I'm sure I've seen like bits and pieces of it, but we didn't have cable growing up. And also my mom fucking hated these kinds of shows with like a vying, burning passion.
Shows. Yeah, that makes
just
sense.
Just like, my mom is a very progressive person.
So no Rocco's Modern Life. Were you not like a Nicktoons kid at all if you didn't have cable as a kid?
Not really. I saw a little bit of Courage.
Courage was Cartoon Network.
What was CatDog?
That was Nickelodeon.
Okay. Good job.
Okay, so
that was my favorite.
I saw a little bit of CatDog, but that was the one that my mom hated the most, was CatDog. She thought it was really, 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 really annoying.
It's disturbing.
That's
for sure.
Valid.
Okay, I have not seen it since I was a kid. I've only seen a little bit of it. I just remember the theme, but she hated that. So
the
theme
is a banger.
I'll just always have in mind the episode where like they're trying to find their parents and they're like, is it a cat or a dog? And then it's like a giant purple monster.
Yeah.
And you're like, this rocks. This is great.
Your parents is a giant.
Yeah, it's like a giant purple monster and the dad is.
Do you remember the episode where they like split and get new butts and then they're like independent of each other and their designs don't work at all? Because I do.
It was great. That's
it was a really
terrifying.
Good show.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've never seen it before this. Like I've never seen like a full episode of Rocco's Modern Life.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit before my era. The show like ran from 94 to 97.
Oh, that too.
Yeah, and I wasn't really watching cartoons that much at that time. I mean, I was 3 when it ended, and it didn't really rerun that much. I remember as a kid, I saw the dentist episode, and I was just terrified, like nightmares from that. I was like, no more Rocco's Modern Life.
Yeah.
And then as an adult, like before the special came out, I heard it was coming out, and I was like, okay, I'll watch some episodes of the show. And I basically like found episodes about Ralph Bighead, and it was great.
Yeah.
The original series is really, really, really funny.
Yeah.
It's like no nostalgia involved. I loved it. It's really good.
I watched it a lot as a kid. I think maybe we had like a DVD or something. I always really liked that show. I love the backgrounds in that show. I love that everything is like that, like swoosh, that curve to it. But also it is just like a real, like a comfy show. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like watching that show is just like, you weren't going to be like challenged on anything. And as a kid, I didn't want to like have to.
The dentist episode challenged me a good bit, I would say. I was like, a little scared.
But yeah, that show just like, it was just a good time for me as a kid. And then I rewatched it some years ago. And I still really liked it, and it was really funny because Joe Murray is a genius.
Right.
I've definitely seen Camp Lazlo more, which is his other show, than Rocco's Modern Life, but I still really love Rocco's.
Yeah, and we were talking about it before the podcast. Like, the show is kind of a hotbed for a lot of people that went on to make really great stuff. Like, Steven Hillenburg worked on the episodes that I watched. He went on to make SpongeBob.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how animation works in general, you know, is that you have a great show and that spawns off. You know, I think, like, Powerpuff Girls spawned off, like, Genndy Tartakovsky and five other people that all...
And Craig... Was that co-made by Genndy and Craig McCracken? Or was it just made by Craig McCracken?
Craig McCracken.
And then Genndy just had, like, a lead in it eventually.
Yeah. Went on to make Dexter's Laboratory and Samurai Jack.
Samurai Jack, yeah. And then Craig...
All kinds of cool stuff.
Craig and Lauren...
Faust?
Yeah, Faust made Foster's Home, I think. Yeah.
This is all just conjecture.
No, I'm pretty sure Lauren Faust was like, if she didn't help make it, like if she wasn't like one of the original creators, she was very high up in the production.
And it's just so funny to think like Powerpuff Girls led to this, led to this, led to this, led to My Little Pony or whatever. Like everything in the modern day is...
There's like a ground zero for animators, and like a whole era of Cartoon Network was defined by Flapjack and the friends that Thurup brought on, like J.G. Quintel and Pat McHale and Pendleton Ward.
Right. I know some of these names.
Yeah. A lot of names on this podcast.
J.G. Quintel made...
Regular Show. Pendleton Ward made Adventure Time, and Pat McHale made Over the Garden Wall, which is the best. And then from Adventure Time, you get Rebecca Sugar, who makes Steven Universe.
Yeah.
And...
spawns off OKKO, which I've heard is good. I haven't seen it, but
I really like it. It's a really cartoon, and I just really appreciate that.
Is it an official cartoon?
Yeah.
Frederator?
Yeah. Actually, I don't know if Frederator produces it.
I don't think so. Probably not. They're too busy with online content these days. I really did appreciate that, like, Joe Murray came back to make this. Like I said, I'm not really super intimately familiar with his work. But, like, the fact that he sort of is still waving that flag 20 years later.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised at how much, like, not getting into any of the Rachel stuff yet, because that's going to be the big meatus.
Yeah.
But I was surprised how much of it was Joe Murray just being like, you guys are stupid if you want reboots.
Well,
he's like, is it remaking something dumb because you expect it to be the same and it's not going to be the same, idiot?
Right.
Like, it's not being made for you anymore. I think the best example is Teen Titans Go, because that's like one of the most popular shows to ever air, and it's doing just gangbusters. And a lot of people are like, but this isn't Teen Titans. They're not long. And like,
the defining characteristic but of kids, Teen Titans.
Kids love that. Kids love that show to pieces. And it's because the show's well written for them.
Right. I mean, it's such an interesting case with Teen Titans too, because the original Teen Titans didn't get to wrap up.
Yeah.
So it's like people will eternally say, like, can we just finish that other thing before you do this? Like,
yeah.
If they had given all of those arcs satisfying conclusions, then maybe people wouldn't care that much about Teen Titans Go.
That's not true.
Well, for me, it is true. Sure. Like they were like running a whole thing of like Beast Boy in Terror, Beast Boy, and then they end it without like lingering questions. And that sucks, but it's like not that the new series is not killing the old series.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not Teen Titans Go's fault. How do you pluralize Teen Titans Go?
Well, you're not making it plural, you're making it possessive.
That's it.
So it's still just Teen Titan Goes.
How do I possess Teen Titans Go? Yeah.
How do I body snatch it and make it into the Teen Titans that I want?
I think that's true of like anything that they reboot. I don't think that that is specifically for or about like Teen Titans because they didn't finish it.
No, that's
like
true.
People are freaking out about the Thundercats. People freak out about She-Ra.
Right.
People freak out anytime anything cartoon related is rebooted. And
people
like,
freaked out about this for sure. There was a big
my childhood is ruined. Of,
yeah.
Well, yeah.
The fans that I mean, and the thing is that this is really, really true to the original source. This is not like they took it and they made it look like Family Guy and they changed the humor of the show. Sure. It's very much like the original series, just dealing with more modern issues.
More modern life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because we see like Nickelodeon these days are trying to ride that nostalgia train.
Mm.
And I feel like they really wanted to do that a couple years ago. And they were like, oh no, people didn't like the Arnold movie. Bail. And
did people
send
not
it to Netflix.
Like it?
No, it just
nobody
didn't.
Talked about it.
It wasn't popular. Nobody saw it.
I remember like leading up to it, there was like so much like talk and people were hype. And then I didn't even know it released until someone was like, did anybody actually see the Hey Arnold movie? And I was like, is that out?
Right. And I mean, I think this one is being talked a lot about because of the trans representation. Like people are mad about it. People are happy about it. People are feeling validated. And without that, I mean, it wouldn't be like trending in my circle on social media. I'm seeing it because people are talking about the representation. And also, I wonder.
I was going to watch it anyways. And I know some people have been like mad about like, oh, you're spoiling the Rachel reveal. And it's like, I get it, but I'm more happy that it's created what's mostly really good dialogue about this.
If you wait a month to talk about it, it won't be a big conversation anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
You kind of just have to talk about that, the main plot of the episode, the week it comes out, you know?
Yeah.
The really interesting thing is that this was going to air on Nickelodeon. Mm-hmm. Got shipped off to Netflix along with Invader Zim. And I feel like that's because they wanted to bring them to series. Hey Arnold underperformed. They were worried that parent groups would have an issue with the trans representation in the episode. And I wonder if Invader Zim also has something like that in
God,
it.
I hope.
Or, Zim is trans.
That's the thing. Oh, my God. That's the thing is, like it's such a strange thing that they started with the Hey Arnold, because I feel like Hey Arnold does not have
that's
a vigorous
the least.
Existing fan base compared to
I
some
don't know.
Other.
At least in circles I've been in and seen, Hey Arnold is heralded as, like, untouchable writing of 90s cartoons.
I would say that Invader Zim still has the biggest cultural impact.
Oh, absolutely.
Like Hot Topic girls, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Invader Zim has like the craziest cult following. Mm-hmm. And also I'll never understand how or why that show got made.
Not
that it's not good, but because they reached out to Jonan Vasquez. He didn't pitch Invader Zim. They reached out to him and said they wanted him to produce a show with them after he released his comic Johnny the Homicidal Maniac, which is a really, really good comic, but most assuredly it's not for children.
Yeah.
So I don't know who saw that and was like, yeah, this person should make a kid show.
I think Nick in the late 90s, early 2000s were trying to go for a really edgy audience. Like,
yeah.
the guy that made Jimmy Neutron, like the shit that he made before Jimmy Neutron is so fucking weird. So I'm not an animator. Obviously, people didn't listen to this show. I'm a fan of animation. I'm a studier of the trends.
You're
but you
so
two
much
are both
of a fan that you're dating an animator. You're
yeah,
really
that's
getting,
why I'm dating you.
Your,
is because you're an animator.
It's the only reason.
Yeah,
is to get
I,
the ends.
Yeah, you asked me what I did, and I said I was an animator, and you came on the spot.
Yeah,
and we've been dating ever since.
Well, so what do you guys think of like the updated animation style here? It's obviously different from when we last saw Rocco 22 years ago.
I think it's cleaner, crisper. I thought it was funny that they made fun of digital animation in the show that was most assuredly finished in digital.
Yeah.
That's
the weird thing is like the ending is Rachel Bighead going to an ice cream truck and doing it all hand drawn.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not how this show was made though. This is
yeah.
all digitally.
I mean, they, depending on which studio, because I don't know which studio Netflix had animated it, it's possible that it was like roughed or maybe even taken to final line on paper, but it was 100% not painted with paint because no production is still like that because people aren't sadists.
Right. And it looks
except,
it
well,
looks digitally animated.
Some anime still does that.
Yeah,
though.
But
they're insane people and yeah. they also are.
That
anyway.
Work culture is very toxic over
yeah.
there.
I mean, it definitely looks digitally animated. And even seeing, like, I had watched some older episodes that had the fatheads in it when they mm-hmm. had watched the show. And that looks just completely, completely different.
Yeah.
In this,
it's just cleaner. Like, sure. they don't have to take, because in the original run of Rocco's, they had to take a lot of shortcuts because it was a TV production animation. And going through the whole cycle of making a TV show is like a lot, like it's so much, and so there'd be a lot of reused cycles and like
they made an episode about that. Wacky Deli.
Yeah, god, I love Wacky Deli. That was one of the first things I saw, I think, that was really just like, hey, the animation's made by people, and I was like, yo, word. When I was seeing, like, and I didn't follow the advertising stuff for Rocco's too closely, I remember when it was put under the, like, LGBT section, people were like, oh, there's going to be gay stuff in it. And I was like, nah, sometimes they just do that. on Hulu, I think Archer is listed as an LGBT show.
Because of Ray?
Yeah, exactly. Because they have one gay stereotype in the show, so therefore it's representation.
Aww. I think Archer has manic bi energy. And Carol.
You're right.
Yeah. Every character pretty
like,
much.
Like you're right, but
yeah, I see what you're
energy.
Saying. It's barely representative.
Yeah. I don't know why it's categorized like that.
I just love the idea of somebody looking for some like nice queer validation in their life and like, I just want to watch some queer cinema. Oh, Archer, I've heard this is good.
And then they're just like, where is the gays?
To be fair, I feel like historically there are even queer organizations, i.e. GLAAD, who have given things like, I don't know, 2.5 men good
Chuck
ratings.
And Larry.
Yeah, for like trans representation and gay representation. So I don't know if.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's how do they feel about Tim Allen's Last Man Standing? I'm sure that must be doing great for LGBT representation.
Is there a trans character? In
I don't know. I've tried to watch one episode and my dad will just have it on in the background all the time. And I just have to leave the room because that shit is unwatchable.
My
stepsister
dad
loves
about it on Facebook all the time. He's like, look at this anti-SJW college. And it's like, all right, cool.
Great.
I love you, Tim Allen.
Speaking of anti-SJW, a lot of people were really mad about Rachel. A lot of people were really were like, they ruined it. They ruined it. Like, as if they didn't watch the whole special and ignored Rocco looking him in the face and being like, hey, you just got to accept change sometimes, man.
Right. And here's the thing. The same way that you're going to have people that don't even watch the special and give it a 1-star review on IMDb...
yeah.
because this happened and because they heard about it and they're mad about it,
yeah.
you're also going to get another audience that never has and maybe never would have watched Rocco.
Yeah.
Like, I have never seen the show before this last couple of weeks, and I watched a bunch of episodes because I heard this was happening. I heard it was really good.
And that's a worthwhile trade.
Yeah. But that's the really funny thing about that double-sided coin, is that I'm mostly watching it because I heard that there was really good representation, and because I want to not feel like garbage
yeah.
when I watch media. I want yeah. to feel good and feel validated and feel like I can see myself on screen in animation and live action on film and television. And Rachel is really fantastic. And I'm glad that I watched episodes before I watched yeah. this.
She, like, the whole, like, I heard there was Rachel Bighead in the show before I watched the thing, because immediately that was everywhere. Like, I saw after that it came happen. Out,
like, even before it came out, there yeah. was like a preview. Three days earlier.
I'm sure, like, Joe Murray didn't in any way want to keep that, like, quiet or behind the scenes. Like, I'm sure he was like,
maybe.
He was like, no, people should know this is what it's about because it's what it's about.
I mean, the special is 40 minutes long and she shows up at like minute 23.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of it that's not about Rachel and not about
yeah.
transness or queerness at all.
Yeah.
It's just about adapting to the modern world when you have old ideals.
And I think that leads into Rachel really well. I've seen it 3 times now. And like the first time I watched it, I remember like I was like, I know there's a trans character.
You were looking out for background.
And I was like,
are they trans?
And I was just like really like nervous and like sweaty. And I was like, oh God, please don't suck.
You said like a towel next to you.
Yeah,
and you're like patting
like,
your face.
I was so like worried because I didn't want to hate Rocco because they like flubbed something up. Cause I knew it was Rachel Bighead. And I was like, okay. And they were like, oh, my son Ralphie's been gone for years. And I was like, okay, all right, okay. I was like, when's it going to happen?
Yeah.
And then it was amazing. And I cried a lot watching that for the first time.
Well, I mean, it's really interesting when you watch like the older episodes that included Ralph, because they always just seemed like somebody looking for meaning, for purpose in the
yeah.
world. They were like a character that had created the most popular cartoon in the world, and they hated it. They did not
yeah.
want to work on that show. They wanted out of their contract so they could go like explore the world and find themselves through mm-hmm. art. And so it really is such a natural conclusion to do that with that character who like had been restricted by society for their entire lives and then leave their family for 6 months and then they're finally like, okay,
yeah.
I'm a woman. Like, I am this, and I've never expressed that because I couldn't.
Yeah.
You know, that's what happens to a lot of people. I moved to LA, and 3 months later, I was like,
yeah.
Okay.
I was like, wow, a cartoon special about a trans woman animator who moves far away from her family and then comes out to her parents. I wonder what that's like. Ha
yeah.
ha ha.
I mean, it was all very fresh for me. I came out to my family 2 months ago. Like, it came
yeah.
at a nice time in my life. And sure, I could have seen this 5 years ago and my life would have been better for it.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen.
Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah. I'm okay. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it is good for younger people.
Absolutely.
I don't know how many younger people watch this show, considering it's referencing a lot of old stuff, but I do think it's also really important for people who are nostalgic to be like, hey, trans people exist even in existing characters, and you have to accept that. Like, I think I saw somebody posting about it on Twitter that really like hit me in an important way of like, trans people aren't going to be complete strangers. Saying that trans people are co-opting your favorite characters is unfair to be like, you have to create an entirely new queer character, because like, if your friend comes out as trans, they're already your friend. If your friend comes out as gay, they're already your friend.
Right.
Yeah.
They're not a new person coming into your life. You don't only make queer friends that you've never known before and you know them at the end of their transition and as a fully developed person. That's not how real life works.
Yeah.
So I think it's super powerful to like take a character that already exists and be like, hey, this person was trans the whole time and now they're where they want to be and they're happy.
My favorite hot take from people making bad faith arguments on the internet are people that are like, why'd you have to make this character black or a woman or transgender or gay? And it's like, well, are you saying you would have loved the Rocco special if it was about a trans woman we've never met before coming out to her parents? What the fuck are you talking about? Like, it doesn't destroy the integrity of Ralph Bighead for them to be a trans woman.
Also,
that's insane.
Isn't that like entirely like, you said it was like a Joe Murray insert?
Ralph Bighead is voiced by Joe Murray.
For Joe Murray to be like, hey, I'm gonna make my character trans and none of y'all can say shit because it's me.
We don't want to like say that only trans people tell a story about a trans character.
No. I'm not saying Joe Murray's trans. I'm saying that,
I think,
like,
that's what you're saying.
No. I'm saying it's not referencing someone else.
Right.
He's not like basing that character on someone
that's
else.
That's his self insert.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the character that he told stories about his experience making Rocco's Modern Life. The character in the episode Wacky Deli is about his experience working with the studio, making a show that he was getting sick of making.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a good guy.
It seems like it.
I mean, the original run of Rocco is like very progressive, actually. And it's not as explicit, obviously, for a show that ran in the 90s. If you watch it, I'm trying to remember, see if I can remember like specific instances. But I know there are some episodes that touch on like characters maybe being gay or
I heard there was an episode about like that. That's clown not coming out or something.
Yeah, and it's not done in like a really like terrible or like mean way.
Sure.
Because Joe Murray said that he wanted to make it about like a modern life and like that's a part of it.
It's really interesting seeing people make the argument online where they're like, Rocco's Modern Life has a trans character? You mean the character that's like fat phobic? And it's like, well, this is 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Like literally the show started 25 years ago. The first episode has really, really big man and his alternate persona, Lois Lane, where he like cross dresses and goes to work. And it's a ridiculous stereotype, but that was 1994.
Yeah.
That's the year that I was born. That's how old the show is. So people and products can change.
So there's something about like, you can acknowledge problems in older media, but you also have to acknowledge like it's older media. And like, if those problems outweigh what you think you get out of the media, then that's totally fine. But making the argument, I've seen this a few times where people require old things to all of a sudden be held up against today's concept of like just social standards, and like that thing already exists. They're not gonna it's not gonna go back and change it. And there's some weird trend with 25-year-old shows coming back and being really progressive. With Rocco's Modern Life, it comes back and Rocco looks into the camera and he says trans rights really loud and everyone throws a party. And then in season 3 of Twin Peaks, which came out 25 years after the original run, David Lynch looks directly into the camera and says fuck TERFs. And
it's important.
Nothing. Nothing. So the actual quote is he's talking to. Which one's the guy from X-Files?
I haven't seen Twin Peaks.
Do you know Mulder or Scully? Which one's like the guy?
Mulder?
Yeah, Mulder is in Twin Peaks as a trans woman, but he was playing her back in the original run. And in the newest season, David Lynch's character is talking to Mulder and being like reminiscing about when she first came out. And how he told all the other operatives to fix their hearts or die when they were making fun of her. And I was like, what? That's the best. David Lynch. I wasn't expecting you to validate me in the middle of all this.
I mean, I feel like
hearts or die is so metal. Fuck.
I don't know. It feels like we're focusing a lot on the negative. The thing is that transness is not defined by shitheads. I really love that Joe Murray plays her the same way that he played Ralph back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't, he's not a transgender woman. His voice still sounds like a man's, Joe Murray's does. And it's like, yeah, you could recast the character, or you could have Rachel be okay with the way that she sounds.
Yeah. And the voice thing was like huge.
Really, really powerful. Cause like I've talked about this a lot off mic, like with Reed and with you before the show. Like, mm-hmm, I have a naturally deep voice. I've been transitioning for like 5 months, and you're not just gonna wake up one day and sound like a cis woman just because you say,
yeah,
like, I'm Mia. That's not gonna happen. And so like putting my voice on mic every week is rough sometimes.
Yeah.
And like hearing a character in a cartoon that is just unapologetically like, that's me.
Yeah. It's like great. This is my voice.
It's really great.
It's the best. It's I'm not particularly dysphoric about my voice or where it's at. So I've never felt a need to change it, even though there's kind of a pressure.
Do you record a podcast? You have to edit 8 hours a week?
No. There's kind of a pressure on
panic laughing,
like trans women to like
present really
do
femininely.
More.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you have to be really femme, and it's, yeah, like, I'm trying, but I'm not like Russian.
I would say, like, I would say there's like a balance too of like, you get both sides of like, you're not trying hard enough, but also if you're super feminine, then you're trying too hard, and you're, yeah, a cartoonish, you're like, right, representation of femininity, and you're, yeah, making fun of women.
What do you, right, think? A woman's just a dress, and it's like, come on, man.
Yeah. Overall, just being yourself is important, and yeah.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Rocco's special, Rachel really was super validating in a way I haven't really seen, because usually woman with deep man voice is played off for a cheap, shitty joke.
Right.
And it just, like, nobody talked about it. Like, it wasn't acknowledged.
Rocco and company were like, cool, let's fix the show, let's do it. Like, they were so into it.
They were like, sweet. And they, yeah, made a good joke about her new chosen name. And like, that was great, because I was worried, like, still after my first viewing was just nerves, like, please God, like, I was waiting for it to just crash and go horribly, and it didn't. And that was the best feeling, when it didn't crash.
I mean, and for some people, the moment where her dad, like, can't accept it was that moment. Like, I saw a lot of people online talking about, like, why is trans people, every time we see representation of ourselves in media, it's our parents disowning us, or violence against us, or being misgendered, or horrible things happening. And I think that that's a really valid point to bring up. But I think that here, I mean, definitely, it would be really nice to see something where the entire story is just like, I'm trans, everybody's cool with it.
Yeah.
It's great. But that's not the character of Ed Bighead. Like, if you watch any older episodes with him, he is like the villain. He's a greedy capitalist shithead who is resistant to change. And that is important to this narrative, because the entire thing is about him and Rocco wanting to just like have a pity party about how things aren't the same as they were 20 years ago. and having to realize that the world is changing and that that's a good thing.
that exchange was actually kind of funny to me when he was like, no. And she was like, yes. Like that really got me. I was really interested to see how Bev was going to react. Bev Bighead.
That was really fantastic. I mean, I love that.
When she was like, stop being a piece of shit, man.
Yeah, she was like, I found these shoes in Rachel's size, and I'm so excited to give them to her and to like go shopping with her. And
yeah.
Just she wants her kid to be happy and wants her back. And that's beautiful.
Oh, that was the best. Watching that was just like, and that's why I've watched it several times already, because it's just like hydrating, you know? Like it's just like, ah, yes.
Taking a good sip of that trans rep.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a balance of like this kind of show, it would make sense for there to be like pushback, I guess, like from those characters.
Yeah.
Like I think it's impossible to have everything. I feel like there are shows where it can exist where there's a character who can be queer and just exist as queer within the world and have no backlash, but I don't think that's going to be true of every story.
Yeah, and especially this one where I feel like right out the box, it's made very clear that the theme is dealing with change.
Yeah.
So like they're going to show a bunch of different people reacting to change. And it started off kind of how I expected, with a funny haha. These 90s people are in the late 2000s all of a sudden. Whoa, technology overload.
Superhero movies.
Yeah. Yeah. The Dark Knight.
Haha, phones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Phones. What, no buttons. What?
Yeah.
Buy a new one. Here's the,
that's kind of like what I was expecting it to do. And I think, you know, when I was first watching it and I was like going through those scenes at first, I was like, is this going to validate this behavior? Is it going to be like, no, it's, you gotta accept that the past is the past and be able to move on from that. And it was the latter, which was really great.
I mean, I think it's interesting to see that Rocco is the only one that really is stuck in the past. It's like him and Mr. Bighead. Like his friends are indulging in modern culture and saying like, hey, selfies are cool.
Yeah.
They don't suck, even though the show was written by somebody probably in his 50s. They're great. And superhero movies are fine. And the whole thing that somebody pointed out online was that Ed Bighead isn't angry that his kid is transgender. He's just confused that things are changing.
Yeah.
Like he's not mad that
this isn't the status quo.
Right.
What the heck?
Yeah.
I do appreciate how much this show hates boomers, particularly like the fucking ghost cracked me up. The like dead like cow ghosts.
Mm-hmm. Back in my day when we died, we really died.
And like capitalism also, which I feel like is stuff that like is much harder to get through censors. Mm-hmm. Is like, I think I saw this on Twitter of like how much like anti-pollution, anti-capitalist, anti like establishment stuff that they could slip into cartoons,
right?
That they just absolutely have so much more trouble doing, like
nowadays
where like like people talk about like, oh, the SJW agenda and whatever, but like I feel like it was way more obvious and like significantly less abstract than of like, here's a show that's about radioactive shit and these people have
Captain Planet.
Multiple, well, that there are a ton of them.
That's a tax write-off,
I bet.
Yeah.
I was thinking of specifically that terrible, terrible show that Ham, one of our roommates, binged. That was like, there were a bunch of like freak mutant people and there was a lady with two heads and it was like something in the backyard. It was bad. I hated it.
Well, the really interesting thing I think about that is that commerce is really defined by what can sell. So like the reason that we're seeing a lot of queer representation right now and seeing cartoon characters that aren't just like white straight people is because that's what's selling. And like as long as those things continue to sell, that will be the direction that we trend in. And I think that's really interesting, is that that's sort of what this episode has to say at the end too, is that Rachel makes this show and that everybody in the world is like, it's great, and people aren't going to like misgender her and treat her like shit because she's making them money. And that's, I don't know, that's a really interesting
Huh.
Like, as long as we are contributing to art and entertainment and commerce, we are valuable to society, and thus we can stick around.
I don't know if I...
As long as we invigorate capitalism, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, no, it's a really interesting... I mean, the show has a lot going on in this episode. It's about reboots and change in the world and transness and queerness and corporate greed.
I guess that's a take, but...
I mean, the ending where she premieres the first episode and it makes the company $13 billion and the guy's like... confirmed for 30 seasons or whatever.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, like, that's separate from Rachel as a trans woman and just more focused on her making this hit show.
For sure.
Whereas the rest of the thing, like, other than Ed, no one gives her any grief, and yeah. Everyone just adopts it immediately, and the only remarks are like, oh, nice shoes. And
right.
Roger, I thought your name was Rachel and stuff like that.
Maybe that's just my own mind dissecting, like, why we're seeing these kinds of things more often now.
Maybe.
Because, like, Netflix and the CW, people say, like, force diversity all the time. They are forcing diversity. Like, the CW has queer characters and people of color in every show because that's what's selling, and they have a model. And that's great because we have bisexual and trans and queer folks in superhero shows.
Yeah, I mean, at the corporate level, I don't think it's being done for any kind of altruistic reason. But yeah. I do like that in a capitalist's eye, we're a bigger, better audience than pieces of shit.
Yeah, sure. Pieces of shit is a huge audience.
Yeah, I'm glad that we're starting to overtake those mindsets for what will sell, because it's kind of just like an example of like the market and like the free market working. And like, if you want to find those really crazy alt-righty views, you have to find a really crazy alt-right guy yelling into a microphone every week for 7-hour streams or whatever.
Yeah, you have to go to YouTube. That's true.
About how they're turning the freaking frogs gay and stuff.
I do think it's interesting that this episode isn't about transphobes bad. At the end of the episode, everybody goes to watch the Fathead special, and Rocco stays with Ed Bighead because he's like, I think this guy needs me more than everybody else. Rachel's fine right now. This guy needs a kind hand to direct him.
Yeah.
You know, and then everybody's there for Rocco at the end when he's like, they changed the show. The show sucks now. And everybody's like, well, you can like it. Yeah. You can just like it being different. That's fine.
Yeah. And I feel like, this might be weird to say, but like the idea that that it's just about like transphobes aren't great is kind of reductive of its message. Like, it kind of like narrows the scope of what it's trying to say.
Right.
It doesn't even really talk about transphobes. Like, they're just not brought up. They're not in the special.
Right. I mean, in the way. How much can you talk about it in a kid show? It's going to air on Nickelodeon.
Yeah, presumably. Yeah, exactly. Like,
I would say that Ed Bighead's behavior in the episode is rooted in transphobia. Like, parents that say, you're not my daughter, you're my son. I'm not going to call you Rachel because that's not your name. And also, I don't want to be around you. Like, that's rooted in transphobia. And it's rooted in resistance to change, too. But... you know, they deal with it in a kid-friendly way. And that's what I really appreciate about something like this. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not insular. This can be enjoyed by people who aren't just, like, trans rights 24/7.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though that's the main audience, I think. And they'll talk about it on their podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's a lot of shows out that have, especially kids' media. Whenever I see this kind of stuff in kids' media, I'm just really happy.
Steven Universe movie comes out in a couple weeks. I'm really excited for it.
Yeah.
A couple weeks?
Yeah, like we were talking a little bit about 12 Forever, which is another recent release by Julia Vickerman.
Mm-hmm. Netflix. It's
on Netflix. Yeah, on Netflix. And that's super, it's just nice to watch.
Yeah.
Like, as a grown queer person, it's good to see that kind of stuff just like, out there and done in a really nice and like very normalized way.
Yeah.
Like, episode one has a gay couple featured in it, and it's just like, yeah, that's the thing. And everyone's like, yeah, that's the thing. There's a lot of that kind of stuff done in the show, and a lot of themes of like self-discovery and like another focus on change is a big word thrown around in that show.
Yeah. I mean, I think the people who are stopping these kinds of things from happening are starting to come around to the fact that having queer characters and having trans characters is not a sexually explicit thing. Like Rebecca Sugar talked about this a lot. She wanted to make an episode of Steven Universe where two female coded characters got married. The studio pushed back on it for 5 years because they were like, that's not appropriate. The show's PG. You can't do that.
It's
and
G. She's like, it's a G rated.
It's a G rated show.
Yeah.
And she's like, why? If Mickey and Mouse and Minnie Mouse can like have a fairy tale romance for 50 years, why can't my two characters?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they would just say no. And that's what you get for so long. And now they're finally coming around to like two girl characters kissing and having a cutesy little romance is not a PG-13 sexually explicit thing. It's just the same as a straight couple.
Yeah.
Took a long time to get to that point.
Yeah.
Cora season 4 was a big one for me. Also from Nick, like taken off the air, put online.
Yeah.
Sort of the same way they did with Rocco and with Invader Zim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I mean, also difference between this point of Rocco going on Netflix and when Cora was put on Nick's website.
A way bigger audience.
Yeah.
For sure.
Netflix. I feel like more people, I think maybe more people have Netflix than cable, like, and that number just keeps growing. And
yeah, I wouldn't have seen it if it was on Nickelodeon.
Yeah, exactly.
I might have seen it, but I wouldn't have. I would have bought it online. I don't know. Yeah,
I would have found it.
wow. Implications.
I wasn't implying anything. That's just how I talk.
I think there's been this idea that I've seen a lot of, like, people talking about how, oh, this show's gonna make my kid gay. And
yeah.
I think that our generation, like millennials and then like Gen Z people are like, oh, kids are coming out younger than ever and you're turning our kids gay and like all this shit. But I think a lot of it is just the fact that this kind of representation doesn't make people gay. It makes people okay with being gay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Instead of coming out as trans when they're 70, they're coming out as trans when they're 14.
I didn't see anything like Rachel Bighead on TV when I was a kid. The trans characters that I saw were like horrible stereotypes from Adam Sandler movies and Scary Movie. And they made me think that that's something that's other.
Yeah,
that's not something that was mean. That was something bad or nasty or funny. And maybe if I had seen that kind of thing on screen when I was 15, I could have explored that side of myself a lot earlier in life. All in all, I think the Rocco special was really fantastic. Like Static Cling. I mean, like I was saying, I don't have nostalgia for the original show.
Right.
I don't think the jokes were as punchy here.
Yeah.
As the classic episodes.
Really?
I feel like
you should watch the original show.
Okay,
it was really, really great.
There's some really good jokes in this.
It's really funny though.
But I feel like with Static Cling, it was much more like Joe Murray really wanted to say something.
Yeah.
More so than he did with a bunch of the episodes of the like original show.
Sure.
Just because like
he can,
and also he has one thing to say it with and not like several seasons to say it with.
Right.
You know?
Okay. I didn't really like these kinds of shows when I was little at all. Like I didn't, Cat Dog was too much. You said Camp Lazlo was the other one he did. Cause I didn't really watch that. Cause it was too much for my little brain. Like it was just, cause it's so punchy of just like joke, 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 fart, joke, 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 like coming at you of like just a lot happening.
Mm.
And that was sort of my feeling when I was watching it. Cause I just watched it last night. And I was just like, oh God, this is so much. So I can't imagine seeing, I actually like really enjoyed it, which I didn't expect. Like I really, really liked the special.
You're like, Mia really loves this, but I'm going to think it's a piece of shit.
Well, no, I've been talking
about it all week.
No. I didn't think that the special was going to be bad. I just like, I just haven't liked those kinds of cartoons. Like
sure.
It's just not something I didn't like Ed, Edd, and Eddie when I was little.
Right.
Which is sacrilegious to say as an animator. I feel like.
I wasn't allowed to watch Ed, Edd, and Eddie as a kid because I called my mailman a dork. and then I went out and I was like, haha, dork. And he's like on the other side of the street. And then I went back inside. And then he came to my house and told my mom that I called him a dork. And it was like, now looking back, I'm like, yeah, it was a shitty thing to do. But also, like, what's this guy's deal? Like, why did he make such an effort?
All you called him was a dork.
Yeah, I called him a dork and ran back inside, and I was like 1 inch tall, and he was like, oh, this cannot stand.
This kid.
I think we need to wrap it up, even though okay. I'm really loving this conversation, because our ice cream man is outside our house and he stays there for half an hour, so it's gonna pick up on Mike. But yeah, thanks so much for jumping on Mike with me for this.
Yeah,
one,
of course.
Omar, where can people find you online?
Just at Omar Romolino on Twitter, and then that'll link to everything else. Me and my friends, we're making a lot of cool things together, and we stream art on Twitch and take requests. twitch.tv/teameggtroop.
I'm at Reed Ashley Art, and that's Reed, R-E-I-D.
Also, if people just want to see you mentioned occasionally, they can follow me at Stop Tweeting Me on Twitter.
Yeah, sometimes you tag
I tweet
me in
things you say.
Yeah. For the occasional quote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you guys like this episode, don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes. Thanks for listening to the Cynical Cartoons podcast. And as always, I'm your host, Mia Marchant. And I'm here if you need to talk.
Can you survive a whole week without an episode of Rocco's Modern Life?
Never!
Can you last a few more days?
Never!
Without an eye-popping?
Never!
Flat-flattening?
Never!
Wallaby-walloping Rocco adventure?
Never!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Check out our great selection of garage and utility lighting options. In stock, ready to take home today. We carry everything to help you illuminate whatever project you're working on. Shop garage and utility lighting products in store at your nearest Menards. You can also view all of our entire selection of lighting options today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.